Morning.
Morning.
All right, so if you've got one of these little sheets, you can fill this out as we go through. Hopefully the fill-in answers will be especially clear. The blank lines. Some of the other ones, you'll have to kind of figure out the answer from the verses that we're looking at. So we're working our way through a series of sermons on families. And today is Wives, Part 1. It's going to be two parts, Wives, Part 2, next week. To start, I want to talk about cowboys. Okay, cowboys are kind of a classic American figure, right? There's many cowboy movies, cowboy radio shows, cowboy novels, cowboy comic strips, all right? And cowboys, you know, they're pretty heroic. They're pretty epic. They do their own thing. And most of the time, the storylines in these things are, you know, there's this kind of mysterious guy comes to town. Nobody really knows where he came from, what he was doing before. He defeats some bad guys, and he's like on his own, doesn't need a lot of help. He doesn't usually have people with him. He just kind of shows up, does what he needs to do. And what does he do at the end? He goes off into the sunset. Where's he going? What's he going to do? Nobody knows, right? He's just kind of doing his own thing, okay? And, you know, he's got a horse, but he doesn't need anybody. He just is very independent, right? And self-sufficient, right? And in America and, you know, lots of places, like, that's the ideal, right? You know who else was kind of a loner? Was Adam. All right, and we're going to start looking at Bible verses in chapter 2, okay? Adam, I guess he did have horses, right? Because all the animals were with Adam. All right, Adam was a loner. He was the only person, right? God had created the plants, and the plants were good. He created the animals were good. He created the birds were good. All right, and in Genesis 2, verse 18, said, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" All right, so everything God made was good, except there's something not quite right about just having one man. You know, we don't know a lot about Adam's character or what exactly was the problem, but it seems clear here that one man was inadequate, not really good enough, right? That Adam was somehow, you know, not enough, right? This was not a good situation, you know? Sometimes there's two-man jobs, right? And or two-woman jobs, right? And can one man do a two-man job? No, that's why it's called a two-man job, right? And Adam is inadequate. Adam needed help, okay? He could not do whatever he needed to do. He could not exist how he was supposed to exist. He just couldn't do it, okay? And so Eve was created because Adam needed help. And the word they use to describe help here is used twice for Eve, is used 16 other times in the Old Testament, and in the other 16 times, it's related to God's help, God's protection, God's strength, all right, and how the person talking about how they needed God's help, how God's help was necessary, okay, so, you know, Adam needed a lot of help. Again, not exactly sure why, but God said, couldn't do it alone. It's about the next few verses in Genesis 2 talk about Adam giving names to all the animals, and Adam couldn't find a suitable helper among the animals, right? Even man's best friend, dog, was not enough help for Adam, okay? And so God fashions Eve from the rib of Adam, right, in verse 22. Then in verse 24, it says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined with his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Okay? And in that last phrase, right, that the husband and wife shall become one flesh. It's kind of an interesting phrase, right? One flesh, one body. Does that mean that if I get a really good night's sleep tonight, my wife will wake up feeling well rested tomorrow? No, that's not right. That's not the way it works, right? It's not like if my wife says, "Oh, I really feel like Chinese food now." Like, that doesn't mean I'm going to feel like Chinese food, right? It's not that they all of a sudden you get married and you magically merge, right? And then you're literally one person, right? Two legs, two hands, one head, one person. It's not that, right? That's not what this verse is talking about, right? I think this phrase is talking about a lot of things, but one important thing is that there's a very intense union described here. There's a very intense team, right? Adam couldn't do it, and so Adam and Eve together, they could do it, right? And now they're going to be this permanent, serious team that's going to be good, that's going to be adequate, that's going to be up to the work required. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in here, Paul is talking a lot about marriage. We're just going to grab a few verses here. Paul is talking about marriage, how it fulfills the strong and natural desires that men and women have. And in verses 3 and 4, he says, "The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does." All right, so the wives must do their duty, and their husbands must do their duty. And what don't married women people have? Married women. What don't married women and married men have? Verse 4 says they don't have authority over their own body. Wow, that sounds kind of serious. Can you think about you're watching a cowboy movie this afternoon? Okay, you got some Clint Eastwood guy, and he's there, and there's like all of a sudden a riot breaks out, and then he like calls up his wife and says, "Hey, I'm in this situation, and like I want to go in and deal with this, and I want to punch out the bad guy." All right, and then the wife's like, "I don't think so, because like I need you to bring those hands home and you know fix the door because it's not working right." And so like, "I don't break your hands, so you can't do that, right?" Would that happen in a movie? No, right? Okay, because he wouldn't worry about that. He wouldn't worry about like what his wife needs him to do, right? Or you know, in the same way, maybe a similar movie, right? The wife wouldn't be necessarily thinking primarily of what the husband needed her to do. Okay, but I think that's what it's saying here, right? That's what it's getting at, is that you know you can't just do what you want to do. If you're married, okay, your priority needs to be to do what your spouse needs you to do. You have an obligation. You have a job. You have the other person is a lot more important to your life and to your decisions and to your actions than you are. Which is why a couple of verses down, Paul does not seem a very big fan of marriage. Right? Some people, I think, well, this has caused controversies and there's been a lot of discussions and different views, but a couple verses down in 7 and 8, Paul says, "Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I." Okay? So he's talking here about how he's not married, and he said, hey, it's a really good thing not to be married. All right? Or in his opinion, that's what he says, right? Now, does Paul not like marriage because if a fight breaks out, he wants to be able to join in, but without asking his wife? Is he wanna be single so he can stay out late watching the football game and not worry about his wife? No, right. Paul says he's happy he's not married because it allows him to go on long missionary journeys and not having to worry about taking care of a wife. He can spend every night meeting with people, taking care of other people because he doesn't have to worry about a wife. He can give away his paycheck because he doesn't have to worry about his wife. So Paul isn't saying he's glad he's not married so he can be free to do things for himself, right? Paul wants to serve God, and he realizes that somebody whose body is not owned by his spouse, somebody who is not obligated to fulfill their duty to their spouse, that he actually has more freedom to serve God with his time and with his body. This isn't very romantic of Paul, okay? But the Bible doesn't really talk about soulmates. You know, you might think that's a religious term, right? But soulmates is not in the Bible. Paul doesn't necessarily talk, right? There's nothing in here about love at first sight. I was thinking of maybe the most famous couple in literature is really not a good example of marriage and married life and what marriage means, right? And so you've said, what's the most romantic story? What's the most romantic couple in literature? By a famous play by William Shakespeare. Romeo and Juliet. Right now there's a spoiler alert here, okay? So Romeo and Juliet, right? So romantic, so, right? They were so in love with each other. And they never had to work at loving each other, right? This is where the spoiler comes in, okay? They never fought. They never had to. Why didn't they have to really work at their marriage? Because they were so in love? No, because they, spoiler, okay? They died right after they got married. Okay, so they didn't have the obligations. They didn't have to deal with, Romeo is sick and now he can't go to work and Juliet has to pick up some extra shifts to pay the bills. And, now they're getting older and they don't look like they used to look like. And, right, all of those things. And, when we read books or when we watch movies or when we look on social media, right, and the depictions of people and their lives and their marriages on social media, things, right, grass is always greener on social media, we can get unrealistic perspectives on what marriage should be, on what life should be, on what we should expect from our wives or our husbands, right? Romeo and Juliet, not a good example. So we started today, right before I came up, Josh read from Proverbs 31, which is a verse that we're familiar with. Many people are familiar with. You can turn there so we can look at it if you're not there. And Josh read a number of verses about the Proverbs 31 woman, and they spent a lot of time describing her. And why? Why is so many verses given over to her? Why is she great? Why is this woman great? Or this wife? Why is she so excellent? What makes her so excellent? Because she's the best cook. That's why she's the best wife. She's the fastest sewer. That's why she's the best wife. Why is she the best wife? Because she works hard, right? When does she start work? When it's dark. When does she finish work? When it's dark. Why is she working so hard? Is she just bored? Is she just have a lot of energy? I think some of the verses explain why she's working so hard. We're going to do 18, Proverbs 31, 18 through 21 and 27. It says, she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. Okay, so she's sewing. She extends her hands to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. 27, right? She looks well to the ways of her household. Why is she working so hard? She loves her family and the poor, right? And so she is serving. She is working hard to help people. Help people in her family. Help people outside of her family. To help people in need, right? She is such a great example because she is working hard to help people. As many people as she can. That's what gets her up early in the morning so she can help people. That's what keeps her up late at night so she can help people. She's working so hard so her husband doesn't have to work hard. No, right? That's wrong. Okay? I think, right. I don't think it was just to talk about the football game, right? It was probably to... She is not working so hard so he doesn't have to work at anything. I think that that's something that, you know... Is Proverbs 13 exclusively for women? Is it wrong for men to work hard all day long to help other people? No, right? In fact, we should, right? This is an example for all people, right? And anyway, to be working hard, right? There's many verses in Proverbs that talk about laziness, and it's never in a positive way.
Verse 1 of 31 explains the whole proverb to me in a nutshell.
Which is that it was a mom to a mother, to a son?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she is an example of somebody that we should all admire and be a hard worker for your family and for your spouse and for the poor and needy around you. I don't think Emma is in here still, but this reminds me something that Emma says. Are you there, Emma? Okay, the Bible says, how does that phrase go? The Bible says who first? Who? Jesus. Who second? Oh, you told me this once. She said God first, others second. Who comes last? Yourself, right? Okay, and that's not necessarily in any specific verse, but that's a real principle of the Bible, right? Okay? Oh, yeah. Well, I thought that was a really wise saying, right? And that's something that this Proverbs 31 woman is living, right? She's definitely putting others before herself. That's why she's not sleeping in late. That's why she's not going to bed early. That's a principle that we all need to have, husbands and wives, and single people too, right? Putting God first, putting others second, and ourselves last. All right, and again, we haven't really talked about single people. Most of these verses have been about husbands and wives and their need to serve, their need to work hard, their need to help. But if we look... at Ephesians 5, Paul is giving some instructions about living a godly life and how Christians should live. And we're going to look at a big chunk here, 5:15 through 25. And Paul says, "Be careful how to walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." Okay, so he's going to tell them, you know, a right way and a wrong way here. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. giving thanks for all the things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even to the Father. And then here's where I want us to especially pay attention. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for her husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, so he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So, we got a lot of subjects here, right? A lot of people submitting, a lot of people being obligated, right? Wives being obligated to husbands, the church being subject to Christ, and in 21, who being subject to whom? All the church members being subject to the other ones, right? All of the members of the church, all Christians, putting others, right, others' needs ahead of their own. So I think if we look at these verses, who is obligated to help who? All right, who's obligated to help? Who's obligated to serve? Who's obligated to put their needs second to others? Well, I think number one, for these, I think wives, right, are obligated to help. I think husbands are obligated to help. We saw that, specifically in 1 Corinthians 7. And number three is all other Christians. You know, we all are required to use our lives, right? Maybe the summarizing sentence is don't be a cowboy. Okay, you're not, you know, God doesn't want you to be someone who just roams around and does what they want to do, right? Just thinks about themselves and then rides off into the sunset whenever they want to feel like getting out of town. Okay, that's not the system that God put in place. If God wanted us to be cowboys, he was giving Adam a hat and not giving him Eve. But we need to think about it, and it's not often natural for us to wake up in the morning and think, what does my husband or wife want today? Okay, what does the person down the street need today? Right? Often, I know for me, I wake up and say, oh, what do I want to do today? What do I feel like? What do I need? Whereas clearly, we need to be putting others' needs ahead of our own, and we all have an obligation to help and to be helpers.